Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about finances. Our guest today, Maurice Wilson of Wilson Wealth, is here. He is an engineer turned financial advisor, and he's going to be giving us some tips on just finances and investment. Maurice, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Why don't you start off by introducing yourself, telling the audience a little bit about you. You have a very unique background as you are an engineer as well. So how did you tell how you got into engineering, how you kind of made the shift from engineering into finance? I think it's a very unique story. I would love if you share it with the audience.
Great. I'd be happy to. And thank you again for having me out, Kimmy. My story begins in the late 80s, early 90s. Schools like FAMU and other HBCUs were really pushing to have more African-American engineers. And through programs that really were the precursor to what we call STEM today, I got involved in the sciences. And my goal for college was to go and learn something that other people didn't know. And so engineering really was right up that alley for me. And then when I got to college and started doing engineering, I was learning things that people didn't know. I learned how to lay out air conditions for buildings. I learned about heat transfer, mechanical, electrical, you know, all these wonderful sciences. And everything was going pretty good until my first internship with what's now called Rolls-Royce Aerospace. And I would say my first day on my internship or co-op, I realized, oh, I may not want to do this. And so when I got back to campus that fall, I had kind of made the decision then that I wanted to do something different. The problem was not knowing what that is or what that would be. And that came to me actually after I graduated. I knew I was too far down into my curriculum to reverse course. So I went ahead and graduated. And when I started working at Daimler Chrysler in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, the financial or the dot-com bubble was bursting. I was an avid reader of USA Today and really got into the stock market, started watching CNBC and Jim Cramer and the host of characters they have there. A gentleman came out to Chrysler to talk about investments, and I really got hooked right there and started going to the Auburn Hills Library for anybody from Michigan and just started immersing myself and made the decision then that I wanted to be in the world of investments and financial planning. From that day, I started making all the moves to get out of engineering and into investment management. And that's what brought me to where I am today.
That's awesome. That's great. So when did Wilson Wealth come into fruition?
Really, August 31st, 2004 is when I actually filed the LLC paperwork. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of services do you offer through your business?
Okay. We started off doing a mix of financial planning and investment management. We more or less do investment management now, but we still offer financial planning for people who are either just getting started after college or just starting their family or having some life event that needs a little bit of personal financial advice in regards to how to set up insurance, how to efficiently pay off debt, how to set up your estate plan in case something were to happen to you and your family, making sure that that wealth is transferred properly. And then we also focus on building portfolios. We're a big believer that when all the planning is done, you still need the money to make the plan take flight. And that's where we put the bulk of our efforts in creating a portfolio that's going to allow you to live the life you want, not the life you have to.
What is the biggest, in your line of work, what is the biggest misconception or some of the misconceptions that you hear very frequently that people may believe that you have to kind of educate them on?
The biggest misconception is the risk involved with the stock market. The last financial crisis we had, the market reached a peak in October of 2007. If you had put all of your money into the market on October 2007, you will have lost 50% within 1 year, but you are up now twice what you put in today. So people perceive the market as a zero-sum game where I'm going to lose all my money or I'm going to make money. And that's not really what it is. You'll have some risk, but over time, particularly over a 10-year window, you will make money. And so people need to understand that the risk is short term, the gains are long term.
What if somebody feels kind of behind the eight ball, like they haven't really feel like they've been investing, maybe they haven't been participating in their company's 401k or 403b, or they just didn't have that available to them, like they had a job that where they didn't have benefits. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give to someone who wants to start saving for their future, start looking, making investments, having a retirement when they really don't have very little to show for it at this point?
Great, great. And that is one thing I get a lot. People always feel like they're behind the eight ball, sometimes even after they saved several hundred thousand dollars. The great thing about the stock market is there is a window where you can invest. And that's typically after all of the hoopla has died down. So we've had a long 8-year bull market. We're coming up on a period where you'll probably be able to put some money to work. The market will always give you buying opportunities, immaterial of how long you haven't invested or how long you've been invested. But those opportunities come in the form of pain. So when everybody's worried about their portfolios, that's where you want to be investing as a new investor or a latecomer investor, because that's when prices of some of the best companies are on discount. So when the market's having trouble, a bear market or a correction, look at that as a buy one, get one sale at the stock market. And that's what somebody who's been delayed in their investing, that's what they want to look for to get started.
Okay. Also, what kind of tips would you give to, I know this year has been the first year that I've been completely self-employed. What kind of financial or investment tips do you have for self-employed individuals or individuals who are looking to make that transition into self-employment? What should they be looking out for? What should they be thinking before they make that transition?
It's a good question. So if you're self-employed, I think the biggest thing you need to keep an eye on going in, I'm assuming you know what you want to do. I'm assuming we've answered that go, no go question. So you're a determined individual and you're determined to make it. The biggest oversight sometimes are the resources. You should have resources available to you to give yourself a chance to make it in business. I would say most success in business is predicated upon being given enough time to make your idea, your concept, your strategy pay off. And that time comes from the ability to cover your living expenses, pay your staff if you have a staff, be able to go out and buy the things you need to operate your business. So if you can have those resources covered, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but you have some type of capital or some type of angel investor or something to give you that capital to succeed, that's what you need. Everybody else has the determination and the business tips, but do you have the capital to succeed?
Do you recommend a certain amount to start or a certain, like I've heard 6 months of living expenses or 6 months salary or a year salary? Do you make any kind of recommendations on that?
A year would be great. It's just that sometimes it's hard to do unless you have really been, you know, planning it out. Really, what I would say more so than an amount, this is how I would describe what you need to have to succeed as a small business owner. You need to have enough money so that you can keep the profits in the business. That's really the biggest problem for small business owners, is that they're covering their living expenses from the profits of the business, which means the business is going to be starved. So moves you would have made are delayed because you had to cover a car note or a mortgage or a child daycare payment or eating expenses, things of that nature. So that's the biggest difference, is that people who have capital resources or just capital can take that quarter's profit and put it back into the business so they can move closer to their goals in an expedient manner.
Do you make any recommendations on how much people should be saving?
I always like, are we talking about to start a business or just a person that's...
Or period, like just how much of like your take-home pay is wise outside of, I'm assuming you believe people should match their employer's contribution if they have one.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So saving for retirement, definitely. All right, so always get the company match. So let's say your employer is going to match dollar for dollar up to the first 5% of your paycheck that you contribute. Definitely go out and get that. That's 100% return on your money. Beyond that, I always think you should max out your Roth IRA. And that's if you don't know what that term is, audience, that's just a way of saying you're going to get tax-free money in retirement. If they can max out that Roth, get that company match, money they have left over could go back to the 401k or could go to what we might call emergency savings, but I would caution people on emergency savings. It's rare that you're going to use 12 months of savings in one emergency. You have insurance, you have, you know, you can file bankruptcy if you need to, not that we want to. And so sometimes I'll find, particularly for my high income earners, they'll have all this cash saved for an emergency, and it's really hurting their overall performance on their portfolios because they have so much cash that's not generating any return for them. So that's something I would tell people as they begin to start investing and saving.
Okay. So are there any tips you give people who may say, okay, I know I really need to start saving? Are there certain tips people can do? Like, I know some people don't have an emergency fund. I know as I've started to talk to more people, there's a lot of people that don't even have like $500 emergency funds. And I think there's some statistics somewhere that the average American doesn't have $1,500 in savings if need be. Is there a number that you suggest? And what kind of tips would you say for somebody? I need to start saving. I need to have something to the side in case something comes up. Yes, it may not, it doesn't need to be $20,000, but how can I create that cushion right now? Especially if I feel like I'm living check to check.
Right. That's going to be tough. So this is where we kind of go to a paradigm shift, if you will. If you look at anybody that you admire, that's successful or whatever your definition of success is, you'll rarely find that the path to that success was the amount of money they saved. It's always going to be the amount of money they make or the amount of money they made from selling something that they created, i.e., intellectual property, a business, artwork. So if you just are living check to check, then saving isn't your problem. What you want to do now is you want to focus on how can I increase my income? Increasing income is the pathway. I know a lot of people are Dave Ramsey worshipers and they like to pay off debt, and paying off debt's great, but all you get after you pay off debt is right where you were before you had that debt. And if you weren't a high income person or a person who was running a business that was profitable, after you get out of debt, you're going to be right back where you were before. So if I'm living check to check, my goal transfers from saving money to making more money.
That is good. So the biggest one is to trying to find some way to increase your income.
Definitely. You know, it's still America, land of opportunity. If your antenna's raised up, there are things you can do to make money. It may not be things you want to do, but there are problems or opportunities disguised as problems that you can solve for people to make that money. Because saving money is not a path to success. Investing money is, but saving money is not necessarily going to get you where you want to go.
Got you. Okay, I have a kind of a little slightly off the wall question. Some people who get tax refunds, do you ever give any tips or advice on what people could do with that money to invest in their future?
Yeah, if they haven't maxed out the Roth IRA, I'm a big believer in putting money in that Roth IRA because the money goes in, it grows tax-free. And if you leave it in there long enough, it comes out tax-free. So how would that benefit me? We largely see tax refunds as bonus money, even though it's money we're just getting back from the year, but we see it as a bonus. Why not use that money to invest in a stock that you've kind of been hesitant in buying? The benefit of buying that stock and also buying it in a Roth IRA, if it appreciates a lot, let's say you buy a stock and put like, let's say $10,000 in and it grows to $100,000 by the time you retire. That entire $100,000 is tax-free. So you turn a tax bonus into a tax-free bucket of money for retirement or for whatever you want to use it for. The reason why I go back to investing versus, let's say, saving or what have you, is that money that's not invested tends to disappear and not be accounted for. Even if it's in the savings account, it goes away to trips, it goes away to emergencies, but when it's invested, it comes back to you later on. And so that's why I like the investing route.
Perfect. Now, how could people get in contact with you and learn more about Wilson Wealth if they want to learn more information about your services? Maybe they feel like they are ready to diversify their portfolio or start investing more. How can they get in contact with you?
Okay, you can always reach me on the web at www.wilsonwealth.com. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/wilsonwealth. We're on Twitter under the same moniker. And of course, they can reach me by phone at 704-222-4162.
Awesome. So Maurice, what is your daily mantra? Like, what's one of the quotes that you live by? What kind of keeps you going?
I have a couple of them, but so
yeah, give us a couple.
Okay, great, great, great. Well, okay, money can't make you happy, but it does give you options.
That's okay. I like that one.
Yep, live the life you want, not the one you have to. And then this one really isn't a mantra, but it's something I want people to think about. All right, money is more than just the things you buy and what we call greed. Money is how you store all of the talent and effort you put forth throughout your life. You store it in money because you can go back. Let's say you work 10 years at a job and you saved $100,000. Well, that $100,000 really represents your time at that job. You can then transfer that to a new house, college for your kids, college for your grandkids. It's a way of storing what you put out in this world and transferring it to something else. So value money in that way. Money isn't bad. It's a way of storing the value that you've created over your lifetime. So remember that as you spend your money.
Thank you so much. So happy again to have you as a guest. Our first financial advisor on the show. You gave us a wealth of knowledge today. So thank you so much. So we appreciate you being on the show. We hope to have you back as a guest to continue talking and educating our guests on what they can do with their finances.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience. And I wish you much success. You're getting off to a great start. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the future.
All right. Thank you. Until next time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.